that you are sitting in church, okay? It's beautiful that it's always amazing to spend time in the presence of God, and that we can share birthdays with Jackie. Can you believe it? Jackie made sure that all of us know this week that she's having her birthday today. So we're just making sure that she now is satisfied. Well done, Jackie. You've done great work to prepare our hearts. Yeah, welcome to all the faces after the summer break and, you know, to a few new ones even. At Planted, we had an awesome time this year at Planted, and you know, some words came out. We spent time in the presence of God, and some words came out. People that prayed for the region, for the church, and they gave us the words. And some of them was actually we need to spend more time with God. You know, that we must share with one another what is the things that God is speaking to us about. That we must intercede for one another. And then also that God wants to enlarge our tent pegs, that God really wants to entrust to us even more. And I want to speak about it this morning since, you know, next week will be our fast week from Monday to Wednesday. Now, if you're new in the church, relax. You know, it's not going to kill you. There's lots of people like Jackie also thought in the beginning she's going to die. I remember so well those moments when I just came to visit and Jackie was, you know, close to starvation. So, and for the rest, you know, I can only imagine that it's only easy for you, eh? Fasting is nice, is it not so? Okay. Sofiso is already getting his heart right. Yeah, fasting is, you know, to stay without food, to shut your mouth so that nothing can go into your mouth and you can spend time with God, okay? So when we fast, we give up food and we drink water. Okay, there's only a few examples in the Bible of times when God's people, and especially some of God's generals, spent 3 days of fasting, and I have not heard of more, without water as well. So I just want to say, please drink water. You know, I remember in Stellenbosch, we had a girl that came to us after the second day, and she said, listen, it feels like my mouth is now so dry, I'm going to just die. I said, but just drink water. Can I drink water? And that was at the end of the second day. And usually the second day is the worst of them all. So guys, please, when it comes to fasting, we do respect where you are at. You know, but I want to speak about the power of fasting this morning. You know, what it does to us, you know, and how beautiful God, you know, made it to be for us as a church family. And just the powerful things that happen when we fast, you know, and I do realize that, you know, sometimes you get at places in your life where it feels like that final punch, that final blow that you need to give the enemy to just get away from you is necessary, and you can't go over that bridge, you know, you just can't go to the place of victory, the place where God is really manifesting himself to you, and you experience him, you feel him, he gives you answers, he gives you direction, he gives you, you know, even restoration and healing in your life. And maybe you sit here this morning and you've been at that place as well. It looks like the pastor again is the only one. So I feel sometimes like that, where I, you know, just don't see the final breakthrough. And I found in my life that the times when I fast and pray is times when I see that final punch happening in my life. And I'm trusting that some of you this morning will catch the heart of this and trust with us for a few things. And we will be talking about what would that be at the end. But, you know, maybe you struggle at your work. Feels like you don't get any direction there. It feels like, you know, nobody sees you. It feels like You've prayed to God so long, and yet there's no results. Maybe in your family life, you know, you feel that some things just don't get sorted, you know, and maybe it's your finances. Maybe you feel that there's a financial crisis always around the corner. You know, there's always finances that pressure you. And then fasting, you know, brings us to that place and that realization that we can focus on God with all these things. So, Exodus 17, Margot mentioned that scripture this morning in her testimony, but verse 11, Exodus 17:11 says, "Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever they lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed." It was a time when there was a war. Moses was the one who had to lift up his arms so that there can be victory in the camp of the Israelites. And when he then would take his arms down, they would start to lose the battle. And as soon as he lifts it up again, you know, God will give them victory. And he had, you know, Aaron and a few of the priests that held his arms up, that made sure that in the physical, he could actually keep his arms up so that they can win. Okay, Moses, just take it up. Keep it there. Okay? And sometimes we, as believers, just need to help one another to just, you know, get to that place where physically we can come to a place in the presence of God and we can experience the presence of God. And I want to challenge you this morning. If God says to us, intercede more for one another, that's not a suggestion. That's what God wants at this stage. And I want to trust that even in this time of fast and prayer, that you will come to a revelation of what happens when you start to pray for your friends. That you will allow yourself to lift up the arms of those around you so that in the physical they can stand and withstand the enemy's onslaught. And the reason why I'm using this example this morning is I want to tell you that some things that we are doing in the physical allows us to get spiritual breakthroughs. Are you with me this morning? Okay? I don't want it to be too super spiritual this morning, but I want to tell you that the actions that we are doing here on earth has some spiritual significance. And so, you know, when Moses lifted up his arms, it was not a good Old Testament idea. It still prevails today that there's certain things that we need to step into obedience with God with that can only happen if we are obedient, stepping into the physical and experience the blessing of God. Okay, and I want to just say to you this morning, there's a difference between the love of God and the favor of God upon your life. Okay, there's a difference between the love of God and the presence of God in your life. God's love extend everlasting to us. And God loves us more than we can ever imagine. He will always be there for us. And He will always make sure that we feel being comforted, being supported, and know that He's always there. But God's favor is something that we sacrificially grow stronger in. Initially, it's a gift from God. When we experience the favor of God in our lives, that the more we become faithful in the things that God has entrusted unto us, the more God will give us. And that's the principle that God gives us in the Bible, is that, you know, if it's in the physical, it's also in the spiritual. The more spiritual things He gives to us, and we are faithful with it, the anointing will grow upon our lives, the presence of God will grow in our lives, the amazing potential that God has gifted you with will grow to a place where you will find the favor of God wherever you go. Are you with me this morning? And so, this is one thing that I've realized with fasting, is that we need to step into a place where we trust God for those breakthroughs so that God can speak to us. And fasting is not to twist God's arm. Fasting is there for you and I. So that we can die. So that we can come to the realization that, you know, that fasting and praying and Christianity is for those who are desperate. For those who cannot actually do it. For those who are weak enough to admit that they cannot do it without God. for those who are weak enough to say, God, I surrender, I need you. I need you so much that I will rather go up without food so that I will find your favor upon my life. Woo! Are you with me this morning? Do you want the favor of God upon your life? I desperately want. I want to desperately move into a place where I can experience God every day. I want to be a Jesus freak. Okay? So please, do not think you intimidate me when you tell me I'm doing weird things. Because it's not going to. Because I love doing the things of God. I love to enter into His presence, and I love to push into that place where I find more of His favor, His presence, and His almighty power happening through my life. And what I'm asking you for is, you know, when we go into a time of fast and prayer this year, that we will actually change a little bit of our attitude. And I'm not saying you've got bad attitude. You are the most amazing people. Again, please do not walk out of here and say the pastor said, I've got a bad attitude. Okay? The pastor has a bad attitude. That always is being said. But please. I love you. So please relax. What I can tell you is, guys, that there's a certain way in which we even approach a fast and prayer time with God that is necessary to change things in our hearts, in our emotions, in our focus when we get to such a place. Are you with me this morning? And so, Hebrews 1 verse 14 says, are they all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Listen to verse 7. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, quickly, I want to just say, whenever we start to fast and pray, God releases the angels to war on our behalf. Now, I want to say to you this morning, God is not at war with the devil. Can we just settle that one? Because if that was the case, God would just do this and Satan will run. Okay? The Bible says that by the flick of his finger, Satan will be pushed out of heaven. So, if God really wants to go to war, you know, this earth will not exist. Because he will make sure that Satan, you know, gets very quickly be put in his place. But what I want to tell you, there's a war going on between demons and angels around us all the time in the spiritual realm. And this morning, maybe it's a little bit deep to you, but I can tell you, you can choose to ignore it, but it still is a reality. Because there's a war going on between demons and angels around us, which implicates our lives. And there's a war to prevent you to actually come to the fulfillment of what God wants to do in your life and through your life in the communities that you are in. And I can tell you, the enemy is not very satisfied when you get breakthroughs. And so when we fast and pray, we actually commit ourselves in saying, listen, God, I know that this is not my battle. Because the greater the assignment, the greater the support. Okay. Is there anyone going to work with me this morning? The greater the assignment, the greater the support from God. Can we just get back to who God really is? Guys, what a general will send his troops into battle and not give them all the supplies that they need, if he can. And I can tell you, my God has all that is needed for me to win any battle in my life. The only thing is, I must accept and allow God to empower me and to understand what He's busy doing so that I can go to battle. And so, some people, you know, get afraid when we talk about angels and demons, and I want to say to you, relax this morning. Jesus is much greater. But the fact is, you know, we're sometimes so afraid to grow because the more we grow, the more opposition we get. But I want to add to that and say to you this morning, the greater the opposition, the greater the supply from God to get to victory. Amen. And therefore, when it comes to fasting, if it comes to prayer, you know, you and I commit ourselves to a place of commitment where we say, God, we surrender. We know that we cannot do it. We know that these breakthroughs that we need in our lives, we can only do it with you. But God, we surrender to in such a way that you can manifest yourself through us. Now, Daniel was such a person, and I want to just mention it. I think all of you know the story, but Daniel 10 verse 3 says, I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. So Daniel committed himself. He was a disciplined man under Persian king, and he was, you know, at that stage committed to the cause of his God, his father, and then he was fasting and praying and staying away from abstaining from delicacies, so that he could focus, so that he can rather get the delicacies of spiritual input in his life. And in such a way, he commit himself that he saw the victory of God. 10 verse 10 to 13. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. So this man, Daniel, had an expectation that God would actually not just be the God that everyone knows, but it will be his God that actually interacts with him, that gives him commands, that gives him information, revelation, that gives him the way of life, that speaks to him, that gives him and empowers him to know how to overcome. And listen to this, he says, and behold, a hand touched me. He experienced the presence of God in his life, and it set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. This is the angel. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me and 21 days, but Michael, which we know is one of the three greatest angels in heaven, it's Michael. And then we also know Gabriel and the messenger from God. And then we know the third one was Lucifer, the one that was kicked out of heaven because he became so proud. He was so powerful. And yet, when this man Daniel pushed in, fasted, trusted God to meet with him, trusted God to interact with him, the angel came and speak to him. Said to him, there's a war going on, and actually, I wanted to be here quicker, but I had to war all the way to come to you. It says there, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me. I was left there with the king of Persia. And so, I want to say to you this morning, you know, some things that is happening in and around our lives need prayer and fast so that we can see breakthroughs. Jesus had a moment with his disciples, and a demon was manifesting, and they thought that they were strong enough to actually cast it out. And then Jesus said to them, you of little faith, have I not commanded you to drive out these demons? Have I not entrusted unto you the power to rule over these things? And then Jesus said to them, some things will only be dealt with through prayer and fast. So I want to say to you this morning, fasting is not when you and I come to God and say to God, God, I've got this list. I've got these 10 things that, you know, that's now happening in my life. And I'm praying and fasting so that these 10 things will be sorted after 3 days of prayer and fast. That's not what's going to happen. This is a question time. This is a time when you say, God, I feel this is where I'm heading, and I feel this. But God, please show it to me. reveal yourself to me. Make yourself clear to me. Give me a strategy, God. Show me the way because I want to be in submission to you. And there's a place where you and I enter into when we come to prayer and fast where we bow our knee before God. Because physically we are too weak. And I don't know who of you have done it before. Looks like most at least, you know, sitting here. But on the second day, your breath stinks. Okay. Just get the religion out of this house now. On the second day, you don't want to talk to people because there's something going on in the side of your inside of your mouth. Okay? On the second day, you feel like your head is too heavy. You're sitting at work and you feel like, listen, I don't feel sharp enough to do my job. Why should I go through this? God, why do you even expect me to do this? But you know what's beautiful about fasting? Is when your head is so heavy, you realize that it's time to lay it down, okay? It's really a time when you and I admit that we are too weak to get through. That we must surrender so that God can speak to us. And so there's five things that I want to end off this morning in trusting that you will remember them. So please, if you have something to write, do so. So that you can take this into the prayer and fast week and you can work this through with God, okay? Because these are keys that I believe, you know, will help you at least to understand fast better and to work through the implications thereof. The first one is you must prepare spiritually for a fast. Now, we're a week away from it, so can I just say, next week this time, there's going to be nervous laughs all around, okay? Because you know that today we eat like mad because there's three days coming, okay? Some eat steak, some eat, you know, too much pasta. Just remember, the more you eat, the more difficult it's going to be to sustain that through the 3 days. But next Sunday is open season, okay? But this week is a time of preparation. There's certain things that God wants to talk to you even before starting to trust God for breakthroughs. And one of those things is for you to get out of your routine and to start to readjust all your thinking to what God wants to do in and through your life. It's a time of self-examination. A place where you and I must go and ask God, God, what is the stuff in my life? Because we pick up stuff. You know, I was so glad that Richard said it last weekend, you know, the shepherd looking at the sheep, and when he looks at the sheep, he sees them being so scattered, so lost, and his heart breaks. Because this is where we are at, people. When I see the people walking around me, I see lost people. People that are hurt. People that are living under the bondage of sin. People that are walking under the bondage of financial debt. Of the, you know, the worst kind of pain and sorrow. And yet they don't share it with anyone. They try to be strong enough to come through it. And I want to say to you this morning, if we don't take time out from time to time to go and sit down and work these things through with God and say, God, there's stuff. There's hurts. There's relational hurt. There's issues at my job. There's issues in my family. If we don't take time out to go and say to God, God, just examine my heart. Allow me to be honest with you. We run around in circles all the time, and the pain and the sorrow and the bondage will just be more and more. So it's a time of self-examination. It's a time when you wash yourself. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of our body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Isaiah 1 verse 15, You spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to evil. Isaiah 52:11. Depart, depart, go out from here. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it to go to your word. One of those things is washing yourself with the word of God. And my question to you today is not, do you have a Bible plan? Do you have a reading plan? You know, because that's going to help nobody this morning. My question is, do you spend time in the Word of God? You can determine how that looks, but I can tell you the washing of the Word, the washing of yourself and cleansing of yourself happens when we have the reflection of the Word of God that we read so that it can show it to us. If you don't, humans left to their own devices will kill themselves. Look at the most powerful people in the on this planet. You know, I've just read things about the Roman Empire again, and I just realized, you know, if you look at the Caesars and the amazing, you know, the magnitude just of the wars that they fought and the victories that they experience, and then you listen to the Caesars, you know, and the the emperors of the times, and you hear that all of them came to a point where their power was so much that they were left to their own devices and they self-destructed because they were so powerful that they were untouchable to self-reflect. And I want to say to you, a time of fast and prayer allows us to get back to the drawing board. To know that we are not so amazing. That we realize that we need a Savior. And to take away all of that stuff that that is building up within us. Secondly, we must make sure that our motivation is right. This is not a time of diet. Okay, if you thought you're going to lose, like myself, a little bit of weight, okay, that is the benefit of fasting, but that should not be the motivation. May that be a revelation to you this morning. As it is to me every time, okay? The motivation of why we are fasting is important. So let's talk about it. Matthew 6, verse 16 to 18. Moreover, when we fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, that thou appear unto men to fast, but unto the Father. There's a place where you and I must remember that God actually wants us to fast to consecrate our time to Him, to spend time with Him. You cannot fast and not pray. Okay, can I say that again? You cannot fast and not pray. If you're like me on the second day, you feel like rather sleeping the day through. Okay. You guys are looking at me as if the pastor is a bad man again. Guys, you feel like not spending time with God. Let's be real about it. Okay, it's official, thanks. One other sinner in the house. But guys, we must make sure that we know that we are spending time with God. 2 Samuel 12, verse 22 to 23. And he said, this was now David, the King David, that lost the child that he had with Bathsheba. And this is what he said after fasting. He said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child might live. But now he's dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. Isaiah 58:3. Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. So don't tell me you are so amazing. All of us do things for our own desires. There's a motivation where we need to hear from God and not our own agendas. Not our own lists. The focus of fast should be to lose the bonds of wickedness and wickedness, undo heavy burdens, set the oppressed free, destroy every yoke. Isaiah 58 verse 6. Is not this the fast that I choose? To lose the bonds of wickedness, to undo straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed be free, and to break every yoke. 1 John 3 verse 8, listen to this one. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So if Jesus is part of your life, I can tell you, Jesus manifested himself for this purpose, so that you be free. You don't need to partake in this. You don't need to be oppressed by this. So when we go into a time of fasting and praying, we trust in God for breakthrough. We trust in God to get rid of these things. Number three, you must determine what kind of fast and for how long you will fast. Okay? Now, we've done that for next week, so relax. You don't need to go and pray about that. It's at least one box ticked. But it's either a public fast or a private fast. I know lots of you also do private fasts where you pray for your own businesses and lives as well. But we need to write down a plan of why do we fast? What is the things that we are trusting God for? Because I can tell you, when you go into the three-day fast, if you've not determined this, it's very difficult to focus. Okay? You must go and sort this out with God and allow yourself to actually get to a place of goal setting. God, I'm going to trust you. You will reveal yourself to me concerning my finances that is in such a mess. God, I'm going to wait on you till this pain that I have toward this person, that you will reveal to me what would be the next step. How can I deal with this? How can I sort this out? Are you with me this morning? Guys, there's some goal setting to do in this week as we prepare for fasting and praying. You must have a plan, because God wants to speak to you. And then, number four, I'm almost there. Fasting increases our sense of humility and dependence on God. God longs for us, and He wants us to find our dependence on Him. I've mentioned it a few times this morning. Joel chapter 1 verse 14, a time where Israel was in great economic crisis. Okay, they were really on their knees as a nation. They had great trouble. And then the prophet called them to a place of fasting and consecration. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. 2 verse 12, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Joel 2:15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, and call solemn assembly. And I just want to say to you, the fast that I'm talking about that we're doing now is not staying away from your computer. Okay? There is a place for that. There's a place when God says to you, abstain from certain things in your life. This is not such a fast. Okay? This is a fast when we really push into the presence of God and we say to one another, let's keep food from our mouth so that we can experience the delicacies of spiritual input in our lives. Okay? The amazing thing of this is when we have this goal setting, when we have this focus in our lives, is that we see the breakthrough. We see the blessing, the victory that God wants to bring with it. And then the last one, fasting stir our faith to see God's faithfulness. Matthew 17:17, I've mentioned it before. And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I bear with you? Bring him here to me." The guy that was demon-possessed. And Matthew 17:20 says then, he said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now, the reason why I'm saying it to you this morning is, guys, you cannot go into a fast without the faith that God is going to actually come through for you. If it is because I'm expecting it of you, that you must now abstain from food, guess what? It's going to be 3 days of great sacrifice and no results. Okay. Looks like some of you want to go through torture. I don't want to go through torture. I want to go through sacrifice and see the reward. And all that I'm saying to you is, in order to get there, there must be an element of faith, where you and I step into it and say, "God, listen, there's certain goals that we are setting for ourselves that we're trusting you for. Please come through for us. Speak to us. Why is it not happening? God, if we must repent, if we must lay more before you, if we must change things in our lives, if we must adapt our program, Father, whatever we must do, but we need the breakthrough from you." But you know what? We go through years of suffering and years of struggling and no breakthrough because we don't set time apart where we see the breakthrough. This is the time when God says, "Listen, fasting and praying is going to help you guys to focus on me and to know what needs to be done to get to sort out these demons, because they're not more powerful than you are. I've given you the authority to rule over them." And then, I love this. Maybe I should first say this. You know, faithlessness disconnects us from God. It disconnects us from worship. It disconnects us from the church. It disconnects us from God's presence. While doubting, when we ask the question why the whole time, is when we doubt to such a way that we actually see no results in our lives and we are tossed by the wind, as James 1 says. But Jesus says, "You are a perverse generation." Why? Because you are connected to the world. You are rather connected to the world than to me. Because if you were connected to me, you would know how to deal with spiritual things. Okay. Are you with me this morning? There's a connection that happens through what? Think a little bit this morning. Please, can I wind you up? You disconnect through? Yeah, sin. But disbelief, the context that we spoke about now. So, you disconnect through sin, unbelief, and many other things, but what I can say to you, disbelief, not trusting God that there is salvation for even to overcome sin and to see victory in our lives, bring a disconnect. How do we connect again? Belief. And prayer. The only way in which you and I can again start to experience the favor of God upon our lives is when we start to connect with Him. Disconnect to the world, connect to Jesus. Are you with me this morning? Disconnect with the world, connect with Jesus. Some of you looks like you are understanding me better when I do that. Disconnect with the world, connect with Jesus. The only way in which you can do that, there's a garment that must change. There's a filthy garment that's hanging around your shoulders that you will have to take off, my friend. And you maybe think that you are right. You think that you survive, but you aren't. I can't live out without Jesus. I need to go and connect myself again by putting on that garment and experience God cleansing me again and, bringing faith back into my life that I can trust God for things and I can feel that I can conquer the world and I can drive out demons and I can do whatever is necessary because God is all powerful. But in order to do that, you must connect to Jesus. There's only one way that you and I can get to such a place. It's spending time consecrating and allowing yourself to be humble to the extent where you say, God, less of me, more of you. But I'm going to choose to worship you. And there I almost fell now. Joel 22 verse 25. No, before I read that. Fasting disconnect you from the world. Fasting disconnect you from the world. It allows us just to come to a place where we forget about all those things that distract us from the presence of God. And we start to focus on the things that connects us with Almighty God. Joel 2 verse 25, and this is just a bonus because I really believe that God wants to do this in some of your lives. I will restore you to the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army which I send among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never again be put to shame. Isaiah 58, 8 to 11. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Amen. The promises is breakthrough, healing, favor, protection, direction, provision. This is God's promise. I want to see those things in my life. I want to trust God for these things. And all that I'm asking you this week is let's enter into a place of consecration with God. A place where we can say, God, I want to mean business with you. I'm tired of no breakthroughs. I'm tired and I'm sick and tired of not having your presence in my life. I want more. I want to experience you to such an extent that God, people can say I'm crazy. But I'd rather be crazy for you and living an empty life with no one around me. God, I want to live the kind of life where breakthroughs are possible. So, I'm going to leave four things with you, and I'm trusting this morning that we can at least pray one of those things through in groups as we end off. Ian, if you can... when we pray, just put on some worship music in the background. I'm going to trust this morning. Let's just pray an honest prayer of the things that I've mentioned this morning. We are trusting God for harvesters to go into the harvest field. So next week, I'm going to send these points to you as well. Let's trust God for these goals. More than that, as a small group, let's trust God. People that can come into our small groups and bring about a change. Church planters, worship leaders, and then let's trust God for favor in our lives. Secondly, I know that God loves me, but I want to ask God for his favor upon my life. And I want to ask you, pray with us, that God will favor this church, that He will favor you in your workplace, that He will favor your family, your children. And then thirdly, financial buildings, whatever, fulfill the task at hand. And fourthly, the last one, and I'll give these points through, is the one of family restoration. Let's trust God to build healthy families. Let's trust God to come and reach us, you know, in our family life, and to establish godly offspring. Now, there's a beautiful picture where the Israelites had to go over the river, over the Jordan. And then it says that as the priests passed, as their feet find it to be steady, those rocks they had to take for the next generation to remember God's goodness and faithfulness toward them. And for me, it was such a beautiful picture of us understanding that when we spend time with God, when we allow God to work at our hearts and our lives and our goal setting and trusting Him for breakthrough, as we find our feet to become steady in the Lord, we become the stones for the next generation to cross the Jordan and to say, our God is good. Our God is faithful. Our God will provide. I want to tell you, there's many people that are going to experience the blessing of your growth even more than you will experience it. Because the fruit in your life will be a blessing to others to experience and to enjoy. There's going to be awesome things that God is going to do in and through your life to the communities that you are living in. And it's not even to your benefit. It's going to be sacrificial. It's not nice to fast, but it's nice to see breakthrough. It's nice to experience the presence of God, if we can even do it more, so that we can see more breakthroughs, that we can see more closeness to God, more of His presence. And this morning, all that I want to ask you is, let's stand quickly. If you're a visitor this morning, want to pray, I really understand. It's not an issue. What I can just say to you this morning is, we're going to have cake afterwards. we're going to have a nice party. So Margot, thanks for baking cake, and for the small group, Chrissy and you guys, for blessing us with food. But so please leave whenever you become so hungry that you can't stand anymore. But what I want us to do now is just to consecrate, you know, ourselves. If you don't know the Lord, it's fine, you know. And I would this morning just encourage you to come speak to me here in front. But as we put on the music,